Good morning, welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universal Society. We welcome people from all religious, ethnic, and racial backgrounds and all sexual orientations. This morning, our program will be led by Warren Haxter, and we will do the chalice lighting, after which we will have 1 minute of silent meditation.
Listen. Lolita just played the notes that we call in English B flat, A, C, and B natural. In German, the notes are B, A, C, H. One of Johann Sebastian Bach's last compositions was a fugue based on those four notes. So listen again and meditate if you want to about the wonders of human creativity Bach music exemplifies. Our first number, if Kate and Katrina can join us.
Participatory society, very participatory. We encourage participation as a means of joyful sharing, sometimes struggling sharing, and personal growth. Today's performers have already shared some exciting musical moments. We've even shared Chinese takeout in preparation for today. It's a challenging program, even for experienced musicians. And I'm tremendously impressed by the musical talent of the teenagers who are performing today, and also by people who have taken on music of Bach that they never thought they would ever try. We begin with Kate Skog and Katrina Schroeder. Kate is singing church music in German and using her voice like an instrument. That intertwines with the music that Katrina's playing. She's not going to be looking at you and smiling prettily. She's going to be very, very busy following lots and lots of notes. And so are we all. The translation of the words that she is singing are on the back of your order of service.
You're on the chapter 8.
Oh. Okay. On the back of something. Somewhere.
Thank you. read a story for children, and that there are pictures in the book, so you might want to come up.
Kings, the birds listened when Vitus Bach played his cittern. Vitus taught his son Hans to play the violin, and Hans taught his son Christopher to play the violin. Then Christopher taught his son Ambrosius to play the violin. And when Ambrosius' son Sebastian was born, the birds sang a welcome. Ambrosius taught his son Sebastian to play the violin. All the Bachs played music. When Sebastian was 9, the music stopped. First his mama, then his papa died. Sebastian was an orphan. He went off to live with his older brother, Christoph. Even the bird songs could not cheer Sebastian. But when Christian taught his little brother to play the clavichord, the music sounded again. Sebastian practiced from morning till night. By moonlight, he copied music to play the next day. It was a good way to learn, and he wanted to learn everything. So when Sebastian was 15, he set off for boarding school on foot, 200 miles away. Away at school, Sebastian learned to play the organ. From the start, Sebastian loved this instrument. His feet playing the pedals, his hands on the keyboard, pulling the stops, and above all, the mighty sound that roared from the pipes. Sebastian walked miles to hear other organists play. Back and forth across the land, from one church to the next he walked, the sound of organ pipes ringing in his ears. So it went at school, playing organ, violin, harpsichord, and singing in the choir. Then one day, Sebastian put on a wig, for young men did that in those days, and left school to make his way in the world. From one church to another, from one palace to another, Sebastian played music. But now it was his own music. Sebastian heard the music in his head. The melodies came fast as his pen raced over the page. He rarely changed a note. He heard the melody for the violin, one for the trumpet, one for the flute, one for the oboe. Each instrument had its own voice. And when all the voices sounded at the same time, it was like good friends talking together. The years passed. Sebastian became a loving husband to Anna Magdalena and a proud papa of 20 children. More and more, wagons and carriages were needed to move the Bach family from town to town. Finally, the growing family settled down behind the walls of the city of Leipzig. The Bachs lived in a big house close by his big church where Sebastian was music director. The Bachs shared the big house with students at the church school where Sebastian was choir master. Sebastian worked hard to provide for his family. The days were spent teaching unruly boys their music and Latin, and his nights composing music for the Sunday services, 5 hours long, the Sunday services. The Bach house was busy as a beehive. There were instruments everywhere, under tables, on top of chairs, with hardly a place for a visitor to sit down. Anna Magdalena treasured the notebook Sebastian made for her, filled with his music and poems. At night, after the last goblet had been washed, the whole family played music from Anna's notebook. Sebastian's music sounded in the streets of Leipzig. As Sebastian grew old, the light faded from his eyes until he could not see. But still, the music kept coming. He composed one piece as he took his final breath. Now Sebastian sings in the choir of angels and listens as his music fills the world across the mountains and valleys and oceans and into the heavens and maybe even far out beyond the farthest star.
Let me say something about the Goldberg variations. As Barbara mentioned, Bach spent most of the latter part of his career in Leipzig. One of his students, Johann Goldberg, got a job in a city nearby, Dresden, and he got a job playing for a Count Kaiserling. The Count was sort of an insomniac. He couldn't sleep at night, and he would have asked Goldberg, sitting in the next room on the harpsichord, to play for him. And Bach asked Bach to compose some variations on a theme by Goldberg. And when he was sleepless at night, he would say, "Goldberg, play me my variations." Bach wrote them, but he paid for them. Magnificat is a text from the New Testament that's often been set to music by composers, and I didn't know what it meant. Michael Briggs had the benefit of a good Christian education. What's the Magnificat mean?
Hear the rich go empty of the way at the end of the piece.
like having a recorder giveaway.
It happens, folks. It happens a lot.
Paula and Dean will do more from the Magnificat.
Thank you.
As Barbara said, one of Bach's jobs in Leipzig was to compose music for the Sunday church services. And for almost every Sunday of the year, for 5 years, he wrote a new cantata for the services. Cantata is a choir piece, sometimes with instrumental accompaniment. And it came just before the sermon, which sort of testifies to its importance. And as Barbara said, the whole service might go on for 5 hours. But imagine yourself as a citizen of Leipzig in 1740. Every Sunday you could look forward to a new cantata by Bach. And it might make even sitting through a Lutheran sermon tolerable.
And you didn't have radio and television.
That's right. Bach's employers insisted that he not write any operas. Operas were, I think, too Catholic or something. And you know, Leipzig was sort of in the back. Well, people like Handel and Vivaldi wrote operas, and Handel almost got rich out of operas, but Bach was not permitted to write operas. However, he did write secular cantatas that might be played at weddings and in the big houses of the nobles and the bourgeoisie. And one of my favorites is the Peasant Cantata, and we'll have a piece from that.
A suite written originally for lute by Bach, somewhere between 17. Right, exactly. Early, so between 1707 and 1717. And it consists of 6 movements, and we're just going to play the Boré, which is the best known movement. It may sound familiar to you. And this is the subject of more debate between guitarists and lutenists than anything, apparently, because here's a quote from Deutsche Grammophon, says the work is rarely played on the lute because it is so complicated that it renders the piece unplayable. And another quote here, it is playable on the lute, says somebody else, but with a big effort. It is very, very difficult, perhaps the most difficult among the Bach lute works. Well, in contrast to that, Bach said, in any case, the guitarists feel that it is very much adaptable. It sounds very natural and feels very natural on the guitar. In fact, it seems almost made for the guitar. So there's this great controversy raging between the lutenists and the guitarists. And so I thought perhaps Bach simply forgot to put the F on the, when he wrote it down, and maybe it was for the flute, so we thought we'd try it. But this work also tends to get jazzed up a lot, so that's That's in fact the only way I've ever heard it is jazzed up, so you can just imagine what it sounds like the way it's supposed to be played, but this isn't it.
Recorders are excruciatingly difficult to keep in tune, or to get in tune in the first place, and so we're going to take a little time to tune.
Bach presented two notebooks of keyboard music to his new wife, Anna Magdalena, to Klavier Buchlein. They weren't published for a century or so, by which time some sections were illegible with age. I wanted to sing one melody from the notebook that
was the basis for a popular song 2 or 3 decades ago, but I forgot the title of the song
and the lyrics,
so maybe somebody else will recognize it. But I could hum the melody to the lead, and she knew it as well. She not only had one, but 4 different piano
versions of the piece. And all the others knew that the music
came from the Anna Magdalena notebook, but they attributed authorship to different composers. So the oldest says, without question, by J.S. Bach. And then the ones in the middle sort of equivocated by saying, well, attributed to Bach or attributed to Christian Petzold. And then the biggest one, based on the best scholarship, says, by Christian Petzold. Petzold was a student of Bach who went on to become chief organist in Dresden, which is about 50 miles from Leipzig. Nalita has written me some lyrics to be sung to this melody.
Before we play the minuet in G, and because I know we have at least one person who has perfect pitch, lest we shock you off your chair, we're doing it in C.
You're gonna give me a bar.
This menuet appeared to be one more of Bach's creations. His wife, Anna Magdalena, herself had copied it in her notebook. Now, scholars tell us somebody else really wrote the mune to this charming example of one of the fine court dances of the day. How would we ever know this sweet piece wasn't Bach's creation? He wrote lots of minuets, sarabands, bourrées, jigs, and other dances. Me, be a lonely scholar, went prowling into an attic and found underneath the straw roof a hand with copy by Christian Petzold. Though Johann didn't write it, it still represents the genre of French dances then in vogue in the Paris court of the 14th Louis. Bach surely must have danced it with wife Anna Magdalena in company of its author, who now is illegible with age.
No, I can't. This appears to be in the form of a round in the music, if you'll look at it. But if you look over on the left-hand side, there are 4 signs, musical clefs, which some of you may recognize, a couple that might look a little strange to most of you. And what those clefs do is change the placement of the very first note. So while everybody is really looking at that same note, it's not the same note. Of course, we're cheating. We're using different music that's all been written out.
And when we first started,
Let me suggest
have the opportunity to share our joys and sorrows. And one of the things I would like to start out with is, it's a joy to me to be here and listen to this music. And as I was watching, especially the families sing together or play together, it occurred to me that some families bond through music as mine does through sports. And it also occurred to me that it's probably easier for me to find opportunities to play sports with my children and my family than it is to find opportunities to sing with your family. And it's really great that Prairie offers the opportunity to families to sing together that they might not have other places. And also, I'm not sure about the, I have a feeling the recorder group gets together regularly, and they probably feel just as great about having a rousing evening of recorded music as I do when my volleyball team wins. Yeah. So any other joys and sorrows? I'm going to give you the microphone today because we found out that our joys and sorrows are not being picked up on the tape, and that's kind of a big thing. So if someone's listening to the tape, we'd like them to hear that also. So I don't want that to scare you off, though.
Several people asked me before Prairie today what was up with the sorrow I mentioned last week about Ken Kopp's grocery store selling out to a Walgreens, and I just wanted to let you know that we're hoping against hope, kind of like the Gore Bush campaign, to find a food business and make a counteroffer that would be acceptable to Ken Kopp. Unfortunately, we learned that the Walgreens offer, which in the paper was mentioned as being an assessed value of $500,000, the Walgreens offer was $2 million. So the hoping against hope is like a recount at this point. It's really getting to be kind of a stretch. But there is going to be a public meeting at West High School on Wednesday, December 20th, in the cafeteria at 7 o'clock to discuss both the Walgreens proposal and the alternatives. So I invite any of you who care about neighborhoods to come.
Now, I'd like to share a couple of joys. One is that Rose, my wife Rose, is home, and I'm her primary care person now. And I want to thank all of you who have been so attentive and kind to her. We both appreciate all you've done very, very much. She'll be recovering at home for a while yet, so she still could use a little attention. The other joy, in a sense, is that my brother's memorial service, I have an older brother who died, and I had the memorial service last weekend in Hollywood, California. It was a very good memorial service. I would have preferred a Unitarian service, but it was at the first Protestant church in Hollywood, in which the head minister, about six ministers, the head minister was the minister in the chaplain, I call him, at the Senate, U.S. Senate, for 4 years. So it's very establishment. But they did a beautiful job in spite of that. Had wonderful music with almost a full choir, and allowed my brother and I to make quite secular statements about our brother. So all went very well.
I want to pick up on what Aaron said and just add something to the joys of music making for the many single people in our group, in the choir and in the music groups, people who have no families or very little families. For us, it's particularly nice to have venues and groups to hook into. So.
Now, finally, since October of this year, I've been in my own rehab and therapy at GW Hospital. on Tuesdays and Thursdays after work. I'd go there and run on the treadmill. I'd try to beat 1 minute. Now, I'd rather try 5 times. On Tuesday of last week, I went 4 for 5, 5 times, and on Thursday, 5 times for 5, over a minute. It's only gonna climb now.
For any pledge checks or other donations. Now we have the opportunity for brief prairie announcements. Oh, you're right. And we also like to give the opportunity for any visitors to introduce themselves. If you're here for the first time or even for the second or third time and would like to reintroduce yourself so we get to know you, we appreciate it. We don't require it, but we appreciate it. I don't know if he's still with us. Is Bob Culler still here? Okay, he may have had to leave. The person in the recorder group that was not a Prairie member was Bob Culler, and we were very grateful that he could be with us.
He's not actually in this room, but my 18-year-old son is downstairs in the teen room, and he's threatening this is the last time he will ever come here. First and last that he would ever come. But if you see him, his name is Jacob.
Hi, I'm Shanoa. Okay. I'm Shanoa Recking. I'm Rick's daughter, and it's been a long time since I was here. It's good to see so many friendly faces.
Away if you want me to. Okay. Anyone else? This would not ordinarily be a prairie announcement, but given today's program, I think it becomes one. In case you didn't know, the Madison Chorus and Orchestra are doing the Bach Magnificat and an all-Bach program this coming weekend, Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. The Saturday night performance is out at Mitby Auditorium, way on the east side at MATC, and the Sunday afternoon one is at what we call Holy Name Seminary, but they call Bishop O'Connor Pastoral something or other. Anyhow, it's that big building that sits up there back of Menards and looks like a church, and I think it should be a really nice program. We of course, sing with the symphony orchestra, so this is your a chance to hear the rest of the Bach. Any other announcements?
I forgot to bring the display of wildflower notes, but I wanted to offer one more time, anyone that wants to buy wildflower notes for a Christmas gift or wildflower portraits, to let me know and I will get them printed. Proceeds to Prairie.
Is it on? It's on. Two things. There is the book club going to compete with that email meeting. I'd like to be at both. And secondly, I think we need one other person to help do the dishes afterward.
Okay.
We've got one. Barb. Thank you.
Just a reminder for the choir, you can't rest on your laurels. I expect you back next week for getting ready for Christmas.
I announced this last Sunday, but I forgot to get it in the Prairie Fire, so I'll just repeat that the Ally Drive Food Pantry is up and running again. There is a basket out there for donations, and I will be taking those regularly.
And I'd just like to thank everybody on behalf of the high school kids for the toy drive for Ally Drive. You folks donated $200, which is sponsoring toys for 10 children on their wish list for Ally Drive.
Just a question. Does anybody have a sign-up sheet? Is there a name down for someone to shovel snow this week? It's likely to happen. Thank you. And who was our magical person for shoveling this last week? I'd like to thank you. You didn't sign up. But Rick Racking, thank you.
And
there were several little elves out there this morning. I saw Rick Owens and Martin Arnold. There were a lot of people working on the walk this morning. And Ian and Mary Mullen, okay. Any other announcements?
I'd like to collect guests at your table boxes, the New Year's or the, whatever the date is for the following.
Anyone else? No? Are you going to do another? Are there closing words? Are there closing words?
No, there's a closing hymn.
Oh, okay.
We will close with the only hymn in the Union Hymnal by.
Would have said by A.S. Bach.
Anyway, our hymnal has more references to Bach than the one at Luther Memorial Church. And I think we might know more about that Lutheran musical heritage than the Lutheran. The choir will sing it first.
Yeah, the choir's gonna sing it, and then we'll start again, and everybody. So, well, the choir sings it, and then stands.